I'm going to pray and then we'll look at that passage just read from us from Matthew chapter 2. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your word and pray that this Christmas day of all days we might really hear this word and rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so quick question. Who here can tell us why we're meeting here today? Okay, because it's Christmas and we're celebrating Jesus, right? Excellent. And you're going to say the same thing, weren't you, Cameron? Well done. All right, yes. It's Christmas and we're here because of Jesus. It is no understatement at all to say that Jesus has radically transformed our world, right? Even today, our arts, our education system, our hospital system, our welfare system, all sorts of aspects of our lives have been shaped by Jesus Christ. Right? So much of our world is shaped by Jesus Christ. And his influence on our culture, even as our culture pushes back against him, continues to be enormous. Jesus is a life changer. And so today I want to look at the difference Jesus made to some astrologers 2,000 years ago. And from them, think about what difference does he make to us. Well, you probably remember the Christmas story. Right? Mary and Joseph travelled where? Someone tell me. Where they travelled to? Who can remember that? Yeah. Penny? To Bethlehem, thank you. So Mary and Joseph, they travel to Bethlehem, and there they have a baby, and I can't remember the baby's name, someone help me out. Jesus, of course, everyone knows that one. All right. They have a baby, Jesus, and there's some shepherds out in the field, and something frightened the shepherds. What frightened the shepherds? Sorry? Angel, yes, angels, good work. Angels frightened the shepherds, and the angels told the shepherds to go to Bethlehem because there they see the baby Jesus, right? Well, I want to go to the next step today. I want to think about what happened after that, and that is with the wise men. You may remember the wise men followed the angels and travelled to Bethlehem, perhaps. We'll come to that. They followed the star. All right, well, let's have a look first of all. So we'll come up to the first Bible reading. So Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him." Now you may not remember this, kids, but way back in the olden days, people used to travel across borders. Okay? People used to be able to cross a border from one state or country into another. Okay, and you didn't have to wear a face mask, you didn't need to be vaccinated, you didn't even need any sort of passport to do it, right? You could travel across borders, no isolation. Olden days, right? There's a Christmas miracle. And that's what these three people did. So, or three, we'll come to that as well. What do we know about these wise guys, right? These wise men. Well, in the first verse, we're told that they came from the east. That's a star. So we know there's some wise men from the east. How many are there? Someone tell me, how many wise men? Penny? Oh, I tricked you, Penny. We always think three, don't we? In fact, in the Western Church, we have a tradition of three, probably because of the gifts. What did you want to say, Owen? You think there were probably a bit more? Well, in fact, in the Eastern Church, they think maybe as many as 12. Right? So the numbers range from 3 to 12. We just don't know, do we? The Bible doesn't tell us how many there were, but we just know there were some wise men. It's interesting, about 500 years after Jesus, there was a document written where the men were named. Melchior, Caspar and Balthazar. Okay? And so you may have heard that tradition, but again, that's not from the Bible. That came much later. So we have an unknown number of wise guys coming from the east. Well, actually, let's look at the word wise. The word wise is in Greek magoi. Magoi is the word from which we get magic, magician. And in its time, that could refer to someone who was a counselor, like a wise counselor, or it could refer to someone who is an astrologer or someone who is a magician. And it referred generally to people from that arc between Persia down to Arabia. And so we know that these people, because they're following the star, they're probably astrologers, right? So we have an unknown number of astrologers travelling from the east, maybe as much as 2,000 kilometre journey from Persia. And they come to Jerusalem. And when they get to Jerusalem, they ask a politically incorrect question. Right? Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Jesus. I like that you call out Jesus. You're probably right most of the time. Okay. Now, who did they ask that question to? And this time it's not Jesus. Some people that, yeah, we can see it on the screen who they asked. Do you know, Owen? Yeah, yeah, we're not up to Jesus being born in a barn yet. So, have a look. Yeah, thank you, Michael.
The guy who thought he was king of the Jews.
Yeah, so they go to King Herod and say, where is he who was born king of the Jews? Now, here's the problem. King Herod has been declared by a Roman Senate to be king of the Jews. So you walk up to the guy who is officially the king of the Jews and say, oh, by the way, I'm looking for the king of the Jews. Right? Maybe not so wise, these wise guys, right? It'd kind of be like going up to ScoMo and saying, by the way, can you just let me know, who's the Prime Minister taking over this week? Which, of course, in Australian politics could always be true, right? But it's not, I don't know if it's that wise, but that's what they've done. They've gone up to Herod asking where's this king of the Jews? So, an unknown number of astrologers travelling from the east, possibly Persia, to bring gifts and to bow down before a new king. And they come to Jerusalem because they're following a star. Now, I want to pause there for a moment as well. When I look up at the night sky, how do you follow a star, right? Just walk to it. Thank you. There's the answer I was looking for. Just walk to the star. I've been pondering that all week and it was that simple. All right. Now, not only do you have to follow a star, but why would you think a star is going to lead you to the king? You guys have all got your heads up. That was one of those, sometimes preachers ask questions they don't want an answer to. I'll let you know when I want you to answer, I'll promise. All right, so they follow the star thinking it's going to lead them to the king. I want to say, if one of you came to me and said, oh, Jim, after the service today, I think I might follow a star to find the king. I would probably think ill of you, I'm sorry to say. I'd probably think that maybe you've lost a few marbles, right? Something's not right. Like, don't get me wrong. The Lord does move in mysterious ways, doesn't he? I've heard incredible stories. I think, for me, the most amazing story, I think, is the story of the Murray Christian School in Pakistan, where the gunmen rushed in and they were in the school for a long time and for whatever reason found none of the students, right? Even though some of the students were just huddled in classrooms. I feel like God protect, and you hear the stories coming out of Murray Christian School, I feel like God was there that day protecting those students. Or you hear stories of Muslim men and women who have a dream about Jesus and that leads them to travel to someone to talk about Jesus and they come to Christ. Right, the Lord moves in mysterious ways. But following a star. See, if you want to know God, how do you know God? Oh, you can answer this one, Joel. How do we know about God? He created us, yeah? And what has he given us that we might know who God is? This is a question you can answer, kids, if you want to help me. Yeah, what do you want to say, Elijah? Jesus, always Jesus. He's given us Jesus and he's given us something that we can read to know the Bible, right? Fantastic. So through the Bible, we know God because God revealed himself to us. He's a speaking God who has spoken to us using ordinary words. So if we want to know about God, we don't need to turn to astrology. We don't need to turn to tarot. We don't read tea leaves or chicken livers, right? We know God through the Bible and we can really know him. That's how he revealed himself. And the good news for you is it means you don't need an astrologist or a psychic or a medium or even a church minister to help you know God. You can know God by reading his word. So, why did the astrologers follow a star? I've got no idea. But I do know that God was behind it because God led them to Jesus. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're not there yet. Verses 3 to 4. In verses 3 to 4, we learned that Herod and the people of Jerusalem are troubled by all of this. Of course Herod is, right? Heard about a new king? I don't like this at all. And so he assembled his own wise guys to help him find out where this Christ, this king, would be born. And in verse 5, we learn the answer. The king would be born in Bethlehem. Who's ever been to Bethlehem, by the way? I haven't. My hand's up just as an illustration of what a hand going up looks like. Okay, Bethlehem. Let's talk about Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a major tourist spot on the Christian calendar, right? On the Christian to visit list. Bethlehem is much, much bigger than it would have been in Jesus' day because of Christian tourism. You know how big it is today? 28,000 people. That's smaller than our parish here, right? 28,000 people. Do you know why Bethlehem's famous in history? Because it's the source of water to Jerusalem. So if you want, typically what happened is if people wanted to conquer Jerusalem, you go to Bethlehem, cut off the water supply, and then go on to Jerusalem. Bethlehem, I hate to say it, it's like Warragamba. By the way, if you're visiting from Warragamba, great to have you with us today. Love your place, right? But it's just a water supply. There's nothing else there, right? And that's where this king is going to be born. And see what we see about the king. This king, Micah promised 800 years earlier, this king would be from antiquity, from ancient times. Now, kids, antiquity, ancient times, that doesn't mean like grandparents. Even much, much older, right? This is a king who would be beyond old. This is a king from eternity. A king from eternity who came as a baby. And in verse 6 we see, as a shepherd. So now, kids, I'm asking you a real question. Who is the king who came as a baby and a shepherd who is ancient? Who could that be? Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Fantastic. All right, so Jesus is that king. Actually, it's obvious because we've all heard it before, haven't we? All right, this is the Christmas story. We hear it every year. Jesus is the king. But I want you to think for a moment. The king came as a baby and yet was eternal. Right? He was already ancient, already eternal, come as a newborn baby. But there's more to say, so let's fast forward. The astrologers leave the king, and lo and behold, what do they find? They find the star again. So after hearing the king, they went on their way, and there it was. The star they'd seen at its rising, it led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overwhelmed with joy. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. Now, by the way, I've got some frankincense and myrrh here today, outside in a couple of trays on the table. And after the service, I'll burn some for people that don't have to rush off. And you can smell the frankincense, beautiful, sweet smell, myrrh, not so much. But anyway, you can smell it for yourself. But yes, they carry frankincense and myrrh, which are tree sap. Okay, so it's just a certain tree bleeds its sap, and you collect the sap and it dries in crystals. And that's what frankincense and myrrh is. But it's a perfume. I would have bought gold as well, but I didn't trust you. I'm sorry. Probably didn't have enough money to bring enough gold. Anyway. So, these guys of unknown number from somewhere in the east have travelled up to 2,000 kilometres to visit this baby. Now, we actually don't know when they visited either. So some traditions have them visiting up to 12 days, as close as 12 days after the birth of Jesus. Some traditions up to 2 years. So somewhere between 12 days after the birth of Jesus and 2 years later, they visit Jesus. And in fact, we don't even know where. You'll notice it says, the star stopped. I'll go back a screen. The star stopped above the place where the child was. It doesn't say in Bethlehem. He may have been in Bethlehem, may have been in Nazareth. We're just not sure. All we know is the star led them to Jesus. Now imagine there might be some people in this room who can relate to this. Imagine you want to see this child. You desperately want to see this child. And so you go on a journey to follow, but it's 2 years. 2 years before you get to see the child. Anyone here who's been in this situation now where there's a child, maybe you've seen the child on the screen, and you're longing to see this new bub, but the baby's now two? Anyone relate to that? Not today. Okay, I had a few this morning. Well, that's what they've come. They haven't been able to see this child. They've heard about the child. They're following to find the child, and they make it. They find the baby or perhaps the toddler Jesus. They bow down and they give him their gifts. So I want to ask you two questions now. First one, what difference did Jesus make to these men? Think about what they did. They left their homes. They travelled about 2,000 kilometres. Sorry, it's really confusing, isn't it? When I ask a question and I don't let you answer, I'll work on it. I'll try and get better. Thank you. They leave their homes. They walked about 2,000 kilometres to find Jesus, following a star. They bow down to this child, this infant, and they present him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh, all incredibly valuable. And then they defy a king's order to return home. What difference did Jesus make to these men? It's huge, isn't it? They seriously believed Jesus to be a king. They seriously believed this toddler or infant was a king. And so that leads me to the second question. What difference does Jesus make to us today? And I want to say, Jesus makes all the difference. Jesus brings hope out of hopelessness. If you were to go around this church after the service, and you feel free to do this if you want, put people on the spot and say, what difference has Jesus made to your life? I'm sure you would hear some incredible stories. There are people here whose whole lives revolve around Jesus. Right? People who've said, no, I'm going to make Sunday a priority. That's my Jesus time. And I'm going to make the first part of the morning, or whenever you do it, my priority to read the Bible and to pray. I'm going to make Jesus a priority with my money. I'm going to give generously to the church and to charities. I'm going to look after people who are marginalised, poor, refugees, at great personal costs. I'll give up things. I'll give up my time. I'll give up that great holiday or car I was planning to have in order to be generous. Why do they do that? Right? Why is it that in Australia, Christians are the most generous givers? It's interesting now, the ATO data suggests that Christians, people who identify as Christian, give about 50% more to charity than people who don't. Right? And you know how many people identify as Christian who aren't. Right? We're much more generous with our money and with our time. Why is that? And the answer is simple. It's because Jesus makes that much difference. He makes that much difference to our lives. You see, there are two ways you can live a hopeless life. One is where you feel trapped, where you feel like you're ruled. You may be a prisoner or an addict, stuck in a life where you're controlled with no way out. Or maybe you're stuck with a terminal disease and all you can see is death. Your dreams are dashed. You feel like I'm left with nothing. And you feel hopeless. The other way of living a hopeless life is the life where you're actually ruled by your own ambition. You know the kind of life. Hey, I'm going to finish this degree and get this job and earn this much money and get married and have these kids and live in this house in this suburb and retire by the time I'm 60. And you do all that, and what happens at the end? You die and you're forgotten. And your life has been meaningless. There are two hopeless lives. But here's where Jesus makes all the difference. In verse 6 of our passage, you read that Jesus is a king, but not just a king who is a shepherd. See, at Christmas, remember, Jesus came as a baby. Someone here, tell me, why did Jesus come? This is a real question again. Why did Jesus come? You're on the ball today, Joel. Go for it. He came to make the world a better place. Yeah, that's true. But there's more. Why else did Jesus come, Laura? To take away our sins. Thank you. So, he came to serve us, didn't he? He came to pay the penalty for our rejection of God. He came to save us. That is his Christmas gift to us. And that's why we give each other Christmas gifts, right? We give each other gifts because we have received the gift that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the shepherd, the good shepherd king, has given you life, eternal life, which can never be taken away, then it puts everything else in context. Then it means I can live a life of real meaning, serving others, giving up my things, giving up my time, because the king has served me first. I can face death with confidence, knowing that when I die, I will spend eternity with God under his care, not under his judgment. It means that my life is not defined by my job or my car or my health or my family. My life has meaning and hope because I belong to the servant king, the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you want to live a truly good life, listen to the shepherd and follow him. And so if you're visiting today, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I've got two books on the back table, which I'm pointing to now, which I'd love you to take. A Christmas gift for you. First one is The Essential Jesus. The Essential Jesus is the story of Jesus' life written by Luke. Right? So Luke's one of the Christian in the first century. He followed Jesus. He wrote the story of his life. The second book I'd like you to take is called Finding More. And Finding More is the story of 11 real people who found Jesus and saw their life changed. Right? So basically, read the story of Jesus and then read the story of people whose lives have been changed by him. Because I want to encourage you that there is real hope out of hopelessness by following Jesus Christ. And if you're someone who's saying, you know what, I want to get real with Jesus this year, this is the year I'm finally going to get real with Jesus, then let me know. Or let Dan know. We'd be glad to meet with you. Glad to encourage you and help you learn more about Jesus and the hope that he brings. And lastly, for those of you who are here who are going, actually, I already know the Shepherd King. You have everything, don't you? In Christ, you have it all. Everything you give up. And I know there are people in this room who give up so much. Right? But everything you give up is nothing compared to what you already have. Everything you have in Christ is so good. Everything you lose, every pain you bear in this world, how is it described? A light, momentary affliction. Doesn't always feel that way, does it? Right? But everything, every pain you bear is a light, momentary affliction compared to the glory that is yours in Jesus Christ. He is our hope out of hopelessness. So I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is our hope out of hopelessness. And I pray, Lord, that we might find our joy and our purpose and our hope in him. Help us to live lives of such meaning and purpose that we would bring glory and honour to your name. Amen.